and you thought vinyl left. You're listening to the Vinyl Community Podcasts, Everything Vinyl.
Welcome back to Surface Noise, the show that talks about records and finding records and more records, and we talk about records. It's Concert Buddy, back at the ones and twos. I've already messed up the intro because I was so intimidated by our special guest, and we'll get to him in a second, but also trying to figure out this Instagram nonsense. So the show, I know people have been asking, please put this show on Instagram because that's where I watch all my videos, and we are just not doing it. So stay tuned. We'll figure that out. But let's go around and introduce the panel and our special guest, and we'll get right into it. First up, one of my roommates, actually the only one on here who is a roommate in Austin, 2 years running. Jose Moreno Ron. Jose, how are you, sir?
Good. Surviving the heat.
Yeah. What'd you say? Is 100 plus down there in Monterey?
Like 120, something like that.
Cute.
Woo.
Yeah. Hope you got the ice machine going. You're going to need it, my friend.
Yeah.
And then also I saw him over there. I saw 50% of the dais on the over the weekend. Jason Rojas went over to his house to listen to records. Hopefully we'll get into that. How are you, Jason?
Shout out to Concert Buddy for giving me this Olivia Rodrigo Noah Khan 45.
Look at is this. That a coaster?
Oh, man. It could be your coaster.
Hit that money. Hit that money.
I don't have one, so that would be fine.
Get it. And then we'll go through that. We'll get through the Austin contingency. We've got David Bianco, Safe and Sound Texas Audio Excursion in the Vinyl Throne. David, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, good to see you. Doing any better, David? I'd be good to see you too. Good to see you last week.
Yeah, sure.
And then usually the man who is usually the most prompt panelist. Usually, and I say that because the crown was stolen. Jose was here a good 20 minutes early, 20 plus. So, Arnaldo, you got some splaining to do. Arnaldo, the channel's Fidelios underscore frequency. How are you?
What's up, buddy and fellow buddies? I don't know. I was like taking my time because I'm always the first one showing up and on the back in the backstage. And I was like, okay, you know, you're never supposed to be the first person at the party, right?
Allegedly. And then I want to welcome our guest for this presentation. And part of the reason we'll get into it's one of our show topics is, first of all, it's June. The channel is June's Music Corner. How are you this evening, sir?
Doing well.
Now, he's been in the gallery before, so this is his primetime premiere. I want nothing but encouraging talk. And if anyone has any vitriol or negative things to say, put it on David Bianco's channel in the comments. David is ready to fight the good fight. So no, but June, if you're not subscribed to June, I'll drop a link here in a little bit. But you should, because my man talks a lot of stuff that not a lot of folks talk about, community hip hop in particular. I love it when you talk hip hop on your channel. But he did a video, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, about digging into dollar crates. Is it still worth it? I was like, no, man, speaking it, because these old bones, it's kind of like Jason digging for 45. It takes a special willpower and dedication. And I don't know, mine's waning, so we'll get into it. So I'm glad you made the video, and I'm glad you could join us tonight.
Appreciate it.
All right, now let's get into it. Let's say some hellos. We got some folks in the gallery. I see the illustrious John Bandy is here. Welcome, Ooh. John. Good to see you. I know you're going to leave us for Steve Westman in an hour, so make sure you have fun here and facts in an hour, okay? Fun here, facts in an hour, because we'll see if we can have facts here, because there won't be fun there. I'm just kidding, Steve. I'm just kidding, Steve Westman. Good stuff. And then JT, is this JT? Yeah. JT asks, anyone else watch the Coletco live auctions? It's funny you bring that up. the short answer is yes.
And I'm still banned. They banned
sport, me. Banned at sport.
You're still banned. He unbanned me. So JT, we've been there before, and maybe we'll revisit that. I don't know. We'll see how we are. If you stick around, maybe we'll make another appearance. But and I have to give you a tried and true. We have to give you some hardware, JT, because I do know who you are. So let me give you the boom, boom, boom. And now you're a part of La Familia. All right, let's get into the topics, fellas. What do you say?
Let's go.
All right. So let's talk about, quick one, since I kind of led off with it. Let's talk about Austin. Let's not do it too in-depth because we want to get talking some other topics. But for our Austinites, I'll start with you, Jason, since you were hospitable and allowed me and Jose to come over. Hopefully we'll talk about that in a little bit. As the local, what was your read on the overall impression of the show this year?
It was more packed this year. There were a lot more people buying records, people there to flip records, you know. A lot of competition, you know. So everyone went for the LPs. I went for the 45s. So should I show just a few that I found real quick?
Yeah, yeah. Let's make it big, and then let's just do a couple quicks.
So we'll go for the easy one first. We'll do the Enya. $4
with a picture cover. Okay. You know?
Okay. Okay. Then we'll go for another easy one. We'll do the Red promo, Janet Jackson. That's the Way Love Goes. $4, right? Now I'm going to embarrass my credibility. We'll save the best for last. Train, Meet Virginia, with the B side. My favorite.
Drops of Jupiter.
Jupiter.
I mean, wow.
And now we're gonna. Do you have like the drum roll?
No? Oh, hang on. Oh, do I have the drum roll? Are you kidding me? Hold up.
The Ultimate.
Boom.
Santana.
Yeah. This one. I was a little stiff in my vinyl pant when Jason showed this one to me. I didn't know they did that song Smooth with Rob Thomas on a 45. So high marks to Jason for really just digging well. He did awesome.
Right. So quick story. I bought this from Slolo, two guys from Albuquerque. Yep. New Mexico. They know my bandmate and they cut me a deal on this because it was kind of expensive. And they said that we'll give you a deal on this, but we're going to tell your bandmate that you bought these terrible records.
Terrible? Are you kidding me? Yeah, here we go. Disco Devil coming up strong. Smooth as a fucking banger. Yeah, you're right.
You know, yeah, I played this, you know, and it was smooth. It was great. I had to turn it up. I played it twice.
What's the B-side on it?
The B-side is Maria Maria.
Oh, Maria Maria, the Wyclef one, right?
Yeah.
That's a horrible B-side.
Nah, that was a good one. Jason, is that that's like a double A-side. Maria Maria was also a single.
I thought so. Yeah.
That one, you're right. No.
The B-side is cool.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So I think the story was that they released it, didn't think that this song was going to be, you know.
They remixed it, right?
Well, no. I mean, they actually released this one as the single and then Smooth as the B-side, but then everyone liked this one more, you know.
I got a 12-inch promo on that, actually.
Nice. So would you call that, Jason, your find of the show?
It was the one that I enjoyed. No. I think Remedy promo, the Black Crowes, that was like the one.
That was a good one, yeah. Yeah, Jason really went deep on 45s, which it takes a special discipline, especially if they're not, like, if they're a picture sleeve, for me, helps me at least, you know, identify them or like if it stands out, if it's cool art. Yeah. But when it's the generic sleeves, maybe if it's the label sleeve, yeah, like, there's, see, that's that would have stuck out to me. This Black Crowes, because it's pictured.
Oh, right? I thought that was Wilson Phillips. Okay.
I mean, that's tough. Yeah. Look at those babies on the cover. I mean, those guys are all babies.
I've never seen that photo in my life before.
Neither have I until now.
Strong. Well, Jose, what were your impressions on the Austin Record Show? Because, you gave me, I'm going to give you some flowers here. You ready for this? I don't know if I have any appropriate music to share with you, but I'm going to give you some flowers. Hang on first. So I'm going to give a preemptive pause because Jose had this tip on one of our previous shows about record show etiquette. Bring some records to trade. And gosh darn it, I brought some records to trade. And it really came in clutch because instead of paying $400 for a couple of high heaters, I had $400 in trade. So shout out to Jose for bringing it. Now tell us about your Austin experience in 3 minutes or less.
3 minutes or less?
No.
All right. Well, it was pretty good. I think that I would say that I saw more titles that I wanted this time. There were more sellers, I think, prepared hardcore stuff, like dealing immediately from the first minute that I started buying records, people were like, can you knock off $20? Can you knock off $5? They're like, yeah. You know, so I think they were more prepared this time than I guess last time. But I missed some sellers from last time that I got some pretty good stuff. But I think I got some pretty good records. You want me to show some? I don't have my records here, but I do have.
Listen, you can get them. We'll bounce a Bianco and get his impression.
All right,
rip it. Well, here, I'm going to make you big, Jose. It's your time to shine. Let's go.
All right.
You got to tell us what they are, though. Remember, we have the visually impaired who enjoy this panel.
Well, I'll just show randomly. So one of the records that I was most excited about was this is the first copy, the first pressing of Jad Fair and Daniel Johnson. The lighting here is horrible. Now I'm noticing. I was really excited about this. It's mint condition. I've never seen it so clean. It's not an expensive record, but it's so hard to get it. Like, you know, it being Austin, Daniel Johnson being a major figure of the Austin scene, I was pretty happy to get this. Funny story, I snagged this before Dylan from Noble Records got it. He was going to buy it, and I just gave the guy the 50 and took the record, and then Dylan was like, that's the record I wanted. So that was pretty fun.
Like that?
I got this Masked and Anonymous soundtrack with Bob Dylan. That's Jeff Bridges. What else is that? I forget her name. Maybe someone here knows. Luke Wilson. Who is this guy? John Goodman.
John Goodman, the Afton, Missouri, the pride of Southwest Missouri State. How dare you, Jose?
Yeah, I forget his name. It's the Flintstones guy.
Oh, God.
This is on Classic Records, which I think was pretty bizarre. It sounds pretty good. It was $35. I bought it for $30. It goes for like $100 or a little more on Discogs, so that was pretty fun.
So Jose, before we show the next one, PB Thaw, he says, so basically Jose poached a record from Dylan. Was that a highlight of the show for you?
No, but it was fun. Yeah. So this record, it's the other way around here. This is $5 for this. I was really happy. It's a Swans single, Amnesia, and then Love of Life.
Nice.
Two songs that I was really happy about it. It goes for like $30, $40, so $5 was pretty good. This is a
Illinois
button.
Very explicit cover, Jose.
Yes. This is a beautiful record. I got this for $10. It was new, sealed, and it's a reissue from 2010. But for $10, I was like, you know, normally it's like $45 with the shipping to here. So that was pretty fun. I got this record which I had not listened to because I wanted to find a copy first. This is the debut album by Mike Heron, which was the singer for the Incredible String Band. This is a really good record. It's folky, yes, but it's also very hard rock. John Cale plays in two songs. I've never heard him singing like pop or hard rock, but it was pretty amazing. It's a $5 record that if you see, I would suggest people getting. I forgot some outside. I got the sealed Alice Coltrane record.
Rod Ha. We'll just call it Rod.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not the hard, but I got this for my wife. It was $20, I think, sealed. You know, it's not one of those most expensive records by her, but it is pretty amazing. And $20. That's the first thing I bought from the. I have some others. I didn't bring them. This was $5. It goes for like $50. It's a Gene Ritchie record, folk music. Folkways record, very beautiful, very eerie.
Sure.
It's like the type of music you would see like in a movie by like Brother Where Are Those, something like that,
Coen Brothers type stuff.
Yeah. But she played the Appalachian Dulcimer very beautifully, and again, it's very eerie, and like right now that it's very hot, I can imagine myself in like in the bayou or some shit.
I bet.
Oh, I got some others, but you know, I'll show them.
We'll spin back on the freestyle for sure. All right, Bianco. I know. Yes, look, sir. you got some lap records. You're ready to go. Let's go. Fire it away, David. What did you pick up? Because David, you were only there for the Friday. You did early bird.
I was only there for Friday.
And then you told everybody to go fly a kite. You went out guns blazing. What'd you pick up?
Well, actually, I found that I boxed some of mine that I picked up already. So, but anyway, I only had a few that I was even looking for. But my buddy Brad was there, and he gave me a list of about five things because he was on a conference call from like 10 to 11:30. And I found, I think, four or five of the five within the first hour.
Nice.
It was nuts. Unfortunately, a couple of them, the condition wasn't good enough, I think. But I guess it was obviously a lot more crowded Saturday and Sunday than it was Friday, I would assume, right?
Yeah.
I will say the setup seemed better. Definitely got a lot of good deals even the first day. It seemed like people were open to doing that, like I think Jason was saying. So that was good. But the one record that I really was glad to get was a group called Procession, which is a jazz-tinged prog group from 67 out of Australia. Little known band. And what made it even sweeter is it was a white label promo of that on Smash Records. So these guys were, you know, in the really early recesses of Prague, and I've heard of them. I've listened to one of their records from overseas, but I never saw a US one. And what's weird is if you look this band up in Discogs, the album for some reason doesn't show up. But when I looked up the number off of the label, it does. So it's something weird. But anyway, this was for me, you know, just something I've been looking for. Back in the day, they just took a stamp and stamped the record as being a promo. So just finding that good. I think it was just $20. I think I paid 15. Nice. But yeah. So I mean, I didn't really pick up very much. I picked up a couple of records for some friends of mine, some VCLT that I'm going to send out. So, it was just fun being around different people, meeting different people. So it's a good time. That's the best part of it, I think.
Yeah, for sure. The social element. And yeah, like you said, I mean, there's a lot of people for Early Bird even. I mean, they opened up that back ballroom, which is this is my third, maybe fourth time I'd have to look. First time I'd seen them open that additional space. So that added more vendors and I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go through. I'll show you a couple, and maybe we can talk through it. But I am the world's worst record describer, but we'll try how this goes. I'll start with the last record I picked up, which was before I usually don't stay to that third day, that Sunday. Usually I'm out of town by then, but I stayed over because I just wanted to hear all of Jose's stories because I've been missing Jose's stories in a bad way. But the last record I bought was – it's actually sideways. This is a 70s like funk group from Britain. It's called, I think it's Symandy. I probably am butchering it, right? Because it's something that's kind of relatively new to me. But this is a real heater. It's on Janus, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So this was one that one of my locals had a couple weeks ago. And I kind of looked into it. I was like, yeah, I'd like to see this. I didn't want to pay what they had it for sale. And so I got a nice 20% off on that from the deal. Actually, Jose, you remember the guy that was mad at you? About payment, that guy. Yeah, so I waited for him to leave.
So many.
Yeah. All right. So then I picked up. So you know, I love that '90s, 2000s. What do they call it? Butt rock, I think. And at least that's what my son calls this. Monster Magnet. And see that slip of the tongue. It's called Power Trip. Now, this is if you know Monster Magnet at all, besides being like some Kid Rock disciples. They have that one song, Space Lord. It's like worth getting this alone. But this was pressed in 2012. So this came out like way before that, the album, but not on vinyl till 2012. But like this goes for like silly money. And so I leveraged that trade in that I was talking about earlier. Jose gave me the tip and I brought records to trade with this guy. I think Richard.
That's the best way you can do it. You know, like they get excited, you get excited.
Yeah, this was something that I would not have. You know, probably paid that price tag for as it was, but the fact I had a little bit of cushion was nice.
But Chance, can I ask you a question before you move on?
Yeah.
Who got the better deal in the trade?
So I'll tell you offline, but what I got in trade value, I paid about 45% of what the trade value was. So I did okay. Hope he's not watching. Richard, I hope you're not watching, because then you'll never do a deal with me again.
But that's the thing with the trading. Like, if you have a record that you back in the day paid $20, $30, and it's worth $100, you don't care if you swap it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all profit. After 25, it's all profit.
Yeah.
All right. So then the one, you know, Jason and some other folks had asked me, like, hey, what's one thing or what are you looking for? You know, that's a question you always give me. Go to record shows and you get a good assembly of folks helping you look for things over the landscape. And I said, you know, the one record I'm kind of really hot to trot for now is the Bob Seger 72 album. Turn the page on it. And I saw one that was sealed for $350. No way. I'm not going there. Especially the price. And I don't want to pay for old dead stock because my luck is probably warped. So I found one for maybe a fraction of that, maybe a third of that. And are you ready? White label promo. So yeah. So I was.
Oh, you found it. All right.
Found it, and I found arguably a top tier copy. Except the jacket's got a little water damage. But what are you going to do? And then before we get to the showstopper, they had this record last year. This is Eugene McDaniel's Outlaw. He's a artist out of Kansas City, I think, and he did a lot of like ghost songwriting for other artists. But Finally Please redid this, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago. So last year, I guess in the fall, when I went to the Austin show, Joint Custody, which is a shop out of DC, they had a copy, and that was the first booth I went to, and I saw it there, and I passed on it. I thought about it, had it in my hand, put it back. I'm like, I don't want to, you know, want to keep my bills close. And by the time I made it back around, it was gone. So as soon as I saw this, first thing, pulled the trigger.
Vinyl Deceased.
Listen, we're gonna get into the dramedy of Vinyl Me Please. Don't worry. And then Jose, I caught him taking this out of my box a couple times. This is a band.
I don't even know what record that is.
this is called Log. This is
the
a guy
named.
Listen, Jose, you looked at this more than I did, so I don't know. Leroy Burgess was a guy who did this. This is on the Salt of Soul label. So think of like. This is 81, so it's right after disco officially, but it's still kind of got that disco vibe, that boogie vibe. And, I mean, this is – I think even Billy's Record Salon picked this one up. So, anyway, did pretty well. I was very happy with that performance, and it makes going – those are the things that would take a longer time to accumulate over going to locals and, you know, record store road trips on the weekends. But when you go to a big show like this, it increases your odds. It increases the – possibilities of getting those records. So anyway, you know, Disco Devil, straight up Log is some disco heat. I got no G2. See, that's what's up.
I'll say that I think I bought like almost 10 records for other people during the show.
You did. Jose was very vinyl forward. He was definitely helpful in this pursuit.
Well, you know,
go for it.
Just after a while, like the second day after a while, and especially the third day on Sunday, I didn't have a lot of records to look for anymore. So, you know, it was sort of like, well, I'm going to start looking for other people's records now. And then,
hey, that's the way it should be, man. I'm with you. Hey, before we get off this topic, I want to give a special shout out to somebody I got to meet in person. Super excited. This is Paul Paraka P-Dub. It's his channel, and this guy is not only wicked smart, a wicked great record collector, and a great guy. It was great to meet him. I'd been like, it's one of those things you just talk in the comments, and we have a mutual friend, Brandon, Mr. Hall of Fame. He's been on here before. It was just great to actually meet Paul in the flesh. I know some other people met him in the community, so he made the drive from another part of Texas that I won't say. And it was just great to have lunch with him and really get to know him. And I already knew he was a great guy, but had the time. And it's always nice when you meet somebody and they turn out to be even better than you think. So shout out to Paul. Awesome to meet you. All right. Next topic, because this is a real production. And I'm going to go to the man on scene who actually broke the story in Austin for us. We were waiting. Oh, hang on. What are you doing, Jason?
Who broke the story? Is it?
Well, if you recall, I'm going to move him over here because then you can just point straight down. So Friday, when he's in town, we're waiting for some Bergs. We were doing some Bergs at, was it Sandy's or Shandy's or Candy's?
Sandy's.
Is this a little shop, little malt shop kind of just down the street?
Bird poop on a bun.
Yeah. Well, David, some people like it that way. Well, anyway, we're sitting in line waiting. David's on his phone, and he shared the news. I guess Michael Fremmer had it on his side on Tracking Angle, so do where's due. But David broke it to us. So, David, in a nutshell, the high level, what's going on at Vinyl Me Please and the pressing plan and all that? I call it dramedy because you almost can't make this up. So tell us about it.
Making big.
Well, we're going to make him big. He's in the
final. Look at that.
Allegedly, and all people are innocent until proven guilty.
Fair enough. I'll
start with that to cover us all. But allegedly, there's a situation where the lawsuit has come through where the Vinyl Me Please board has fired the CEO and the CFO for basically taking funds from VMP as it is a record label and using it toward the pressing plant. They were supposed to be more of a separate venture in that regard. There were contracts and activities that were being done, like Gary Sahlstrom's contract from QRP and buying some really high-end equipment for their listening room that were way above and beyond what they knew. And I guess they did some sort of audit in the last few months and found that a lot of people's time was being used from the record label side. And the reason they did this is the label's been losing money the last couple of years, and they're trying to do some traceability, I guess. And so this is where things kind of came out. And the CEO, Cameron Schaefer, he was a guy I was conversing with through email since March of 23 to visit the plant. And it always was something, you know, usually it was waiting on equipment or waiting on permits or waiting on a red tape of some kind. Up until even 6 weeks before the show, it was like, we're still waiting on our certificate of occupancy from the city of Denver. So I don't really know how much of that was related to their waiting for this to produce fruit. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a mess.
Hang on. We got a drop just for it. I've been waiting on this one, David. You ready?
I declare bankruptcy!
I sit on these drops and I just wait for the end. That probably wasn't applicable. But Arnaldo, yeah. I know that you are a Vinyl Me Please enthusiast to the point that you introduced me to a Vinyl Me Please group on Facebook. And you do a lot of reviews on your channel about the Vinyl Me Please experience, the good, the bad, the mailers, sleeve splits. I mean, you've run the gamut. So what did you think when you heard about this? And are you concerned as a Vinyl Me Please, I want to say super fan, but I mean, we've talked about this, like enjoy generally what they do.
Yeah, I do. Actually, I have been following their recent Discord town halls since the announcement last week, try and get an idea of what actually is happening. And they've been pretty much on the Discord communication channel, pretty upfront with all of their members. So we'll have to give them, you know, their props because they're trying to get ahead and
be transparent.
Save the boat from not sinking, because a lot of people are asking questions. If you were in that first town hall, there were like tons of questions regarding what about the pre-orders? What about future record of the month titles? And how is this going to impact, you know, shipping out and the production going forward? And they kind of reassured everyone that nothing's happening with the record of the month. No, none of the selections are going to be canceled. And that the titles that were in production are still going to happen, as well as the pre-orders. They even offered people, if they want to cancel their pre-orders, they're free to do so. So they've been pretty transparent so far. And actually today, in one of the latest Discord live streams, they said that production is still probably going to happen still either at RTI or GZ,
right,
where they're currently pressing up until now, because I don't think any records have come out of that new pressing plant.
And allegedly they are plating, like that is the rumor, that they're at least that close to being able to do it. But yeah, and please continue.
Yeah, and they also said when we are ready and we have all of our ducks in a row, we will communicate officially to everyone, you know, they're trying to field and answer all the questions as they come along on these live streams, but they will make eventually an official announcement once they have everything in line and everything ready to go. And actually, one of the latest, I think it was yesterday, they had another live forum or whatever. I don't know, maybe they found boxes of titles that are that had been discontinued for which they don't have the license anymore. So things that are really supposedly very limited quantities that they wouldn't even put in a Throwback Thursday. Like we're talking 5 copies or less. And they were actually asking members that were in the chat, how do you guys prefer? We would like to do a raffle, whether it's all of them at one person or a few people. And I think quite a few voiced their opinion to say, no, why don't you have some type of sign up for whoever's interested in a specific title, and then you can raffle off. Because otherwise people will end up with stuff that maybe they don't want, and it would be unfair to people that maybe want something. So they're working through that. They're trying to share as much as they can as they go along.
Yeah, to your point, I think big shout out to Paulie. I think it's Paul. I don't want to call him Paulie.
Paulium?
Paulium. Yeah, I mean, he's the customer service guy. I mean, he's the man. Like I always had good exchanges with him. And then Storf. Yeah, those guys have been kind of taking the lead on the, let's call it the PR piece of this. And yeah, the Discord. So I'm just going to read this. This was a nice recap on just the high level stuff. And Arnaldo touched on before, but I'll just read through it for the sake of the podcast. But David touched on a little bit of this too. But yeah, Vinyl Made Please and the Pressing Plant are separate entities. So before there was a belief that they're, you know, tied at the hip, or there was, it was going to be the Vinyl Made Please Pressing Plant. Apparently that's not the case. Like the guys were saying, nothing is going to be canceled. Things are going to be moved to RTI, potentially Furnace was one of the pressing plants named in that chat. A lot of concern about that Grateful Dead box set being reissued because that was a lot of people pre-ordered it. So a lot of folks were worried if about pre-orders were going to fall through or not. So that's an interesting development. Also talked about free order. Like if you want to cancel your orders, they were very like you can. So if you've pre-ordered anything, they kind of basically gave carte blanche that you're free to cut away, no penalties or kind of chargebacks and that stuff. It sounded like the former CEO, Matt Fiedler, I think is the name, right, David Fiedler?
Yeah, coming back, yeah.
Yeah, he came back, so he's taking the reins of the dumpster fire that's going on right now. And so that's good, a little stability in the leadership chair there. And then also, I guess the one thing they said was kind of neat, unrelated to the main situation, is they're still trying to do this angle about guest curation. About, I guess, some of the titles. So that'll be kind of interesting to see what that looks like.
But, yeah. Well, I was just going to say there's another situation going on that could be impactful related to getting contracts with certain labels or, you know, getting. So a lot of that's in the process has been established for a year or more. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
The concern I have is not only reputationally, but also some other things that are potentially going to affect their ability to get the best selection or do maybe as much as they have been. So there's, and I'm sure that that's not on the Discord info. Did they say, by the way, Arnaldo, on the Discord thing, is the plant pressed anything that's gone into production?
Not as far as I know. They haven't mentioned
that. Same, and
they haven't mentioned whether they're planning on utilizing, I doubt it, the plant for any future releases. So I don't know. They haven't really disclosed any of that.
Yeah, well, you know, at this time with this kind of conflict going on, I guess, you know, I get that. I mean, obviously that wasn't the intention, you know, originally. And but at the same time, then that bears question, well, who's gonna be the customer of the plant?
Sure.
Because sure. I mean, it's like MoFi's plant, Mobile Fidelity Pressings, they pretty much, you know, are
one for one. Yeah.
Yeah. They're only providing, at least right now, to MoFi. So, and I think that was the expectation of the arrangement. And all I could tell you, I mean, even up until the last email, I mean, all the emails were going to vmp.com for Cameron, not vinylmediapressing.com, which does have a domain for email. Sure. So, and I emailed him at that and it didn't bounce. So
I wonder if they're being rerouted somewhere. So we got Tom High Rant District as a channel says the discrimination lawsuit that Alex filed is even worse than what depressing plant kerfuffle is about. So.
Okay. Well, there's, okay. That was the thing I didn't want
to. Oh, well, listen, we opened it up. Tom did it. So David, tell us about it.
No, I'm not saying anything. Well, just all I can say, it was an A&R person, a really high-level A&R person that was really involved in a lot of the deals that were done and a lot of the titles. That went south. I actually pulled a legal document last week on that case. So
interesting. Before I check the pulse of our other panels on this topic, last thing I'll say is about the Discord. They talked about if you're holding your pre-orders, they're going to try to incentivize people for, the longer waiting period. You're going to be some compensation, which I'm assuming will be a discount of some sort, or maybe they give you some free records because they like doing that.
No, they'll send you some return MoFi titles is what I heard.
I was wondering where those are going. By the way, side note, Arnaldo, tip of the cap to Arnaldo, I did email MoFi because I hadn't got any correspondence from him. Really? And I showed him my proof of submission, and they sent me a return label the next day. So,
awesome.
Bye-bye one steps. Peace out. Konnichiwa.
Hey, by the way, anybody noticed that MoFi posted today that they're starting to press their records somewhere else?
Oh, somewhere else?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Fidelity.
Global Fidelity Pressings.
Oh, that's what I mean. That's their own plan. Okay, that makes sense. I thought maybe they're...
That's what Mazzy wrote there in the last comment he put up.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, Norman Maslov, I don't know if you've heard of that channel. He's kind of a newcomer. Says that MoFi announced and posted three Miles Davis. That's a new artist. Miles Davis albums today from the new plant.
Miles Davis?
It's not as far from as Miles Davis.
Yeah, Miles is
closer.
So June, I'm gonna ask you, do you have any vinyl replay stuff? Is this a service, or because they do some pretty good hip hop and they do some kind of like obscure reissues. Have you ever taken the plunge on Vinyl Me Please?
I do not have a subscription, but I have bought them secondhand. I've got a few of them. They reissued a few good albums that I was interested in. So yeah, I get them off the secondhand market. I haven't taken the plunge to with the subscription because not every album every month I like or I want. So if there's one that is nostalgic or I feel I need, I'd look for it.
That's the move. That's secondhand market.
I'm happy with them too. They're pretty good albums. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when they do it right, I always say this, when they do it right, it's right. And when they do it wrong, boys are wrong. It can be real bad. Jose, Jason, I know you guys I know Jose's got the Chilino record, but I think you have some more. Jose, does this news upset you or is it just business as usual?
My problem with Vinyl Me Please is that for every record I like that they release, there's like 15 I don't give a fuck about. So
hold back, Jose.
No, what I mean is like, for example, like I'll say that I think hip hop, it's the category that they do the best the most because most of the titles, they're like first time on vinyl or they're like the first time they doing like really good. Or, it's more hip hop and rap is very much in touch with like the pop culture. So like Color Vinyl and all, it's pretty great. So their efforts go most into that. But for example, the rock one, it's very basic stuff for the most part. But like I don't know. So at least for me, I think that people push.
But at least they're not redoing Crosby, Stills, Nash.
Well, you can say that.
Not be redone anymore.
You can say that from Jose. It's the same fool contacting me if I can get a second Chilino record.
Listen, in fairness, Jose, I'm not going to out you, but I think you went around the entire day as trying to get another Chilino record.
Yeah, and only one guy helped me out. Thank you, Arnaldo. Thank you, Arnaldo. Only one guy with a heart.
Give him flowers.
The thing about it is that... I think that they have good titles, but people forget that their purpose is to like for starting out collections and for filling out holes. That's why you shouldn't be that critical, like, oh, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? It's like, they do have some very, like, Sony Sharrock. That record was, like, goes for, like, more than $200 right now. But,
Jason, what do you think?
You know, it's just not enough for me.
Not enough for Jose. Jason, what are your thoughts on this? Because I didn't get to go through all your boxes of records, unfortunately. I was too entranced in the performance that we were experiencing. But finally, please, what does it mean to you and what does this mean to you?
They do okay reissues. That's all I can say. I've compared a few of them. The Jolene, the Dolly Parton, right? The Shotgun Willie, which heads up, they messed it up. They swapped the stereo. They shouldn't have done that. The channels are mixed.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, my
that's
God.
But I mean, some of it's okay. Like, what can you do? You know, like, they're not perfect. So, you know, I'll just pull a Mazzy here, you know. Vinyl Me, Please, if you're listening and you need help, you know. You know.
I'm well, Mazzy, hey, in fairness, Mazzy did say that they offered him the role of CEO and, yeah, I lost that comment, but Matt, is that true on LinkedIn? Mazzy, they reached out to you on the highly productive recruiting platform LinkedIn. I wasn't sure if that was true, but I mean, hey, stranger things have happened. I only have this one. Welcome to another day in corporate. All right. Final topic for the pod specific part of the presentation. This is why we had our special guest June on here, because he made a video a week ago, maybe in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
About a topic that's near and dear to many record collectors' hearts, that is digging in the dollar bins. And entitled the video, he called it To Dig or Not to Dig. So I guess the background is, before we kind of tee it up for you, June, is every record show, record store, antique place has the cheap bins and those dollar bins. And 5, 10, 15 years ago, there was a lot of fruit in those bins.
Yeah.
You just had to get on the floor and do the chore, right? But man, lately it's tough. So June, tell us about what was the motivation of the video and answer the question, is the dollar bin still worth it in today's record collecting hobby?
All right. Well, the motivation was because I dig. And I guess it all depends on your taste of music and what you're looking for. I guess like a lot of the rock and other genres, I'll probably pick through. There's a lot more people collecting vinyl nowadays, and but I find some, if you take the time to dig, and I enjoy it. I enjoy flipping through records and, you know, just being in the record store, because I don't get to be in a record store as much as I did like 20 years ago or so.
Sure.
So when I get a chance to, I take my time. And that's always the last thing I do. So before I leave, I'm going to flip. I'm going to dig, and maybe, you know,
yeah,
you know, maybe that'll be that kind, one. Over there.
Well, what kind of stuff have you been pulling? Cause in your video, you're showing a lot of 12 inches, a lot of really cool stuff. What's been some of your great finds, let's call in the last 5 years? Like, what would you say are some peak, like, totally worth it, getting the hands dirty, looking in the dollar bins?
Well, one that I showed in the video was the Menace of Society promo sampler. Like I say, that soundtrack has been reissued, but it's far and few between, you know. And if you want it, somebody, they're going to make you pay for it. So I found that. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I find a lot of 12 inches. The last time I went record store day, I found two Prince 12 inches. I found a Morris Day LP. I find some LPs, but a lot of times they'll be 12 inches. And there's plenty of Barbra Streisand in there.
Thank goodness. I'm glad, because there's so many. Andy Williams,
yeah.
you know, I got to give some flowers to Olivia Newton-John, because she used to be one of the regulars of the cheap bins for years. And then, you know, God rest her soul, she passed away. And boy, you never see her again. She has vanished from all the cheap bins. So that was good to see. Now, guys, let's kind of get your thoughts on this, because I know Rojas and I talked a little bit about it. Well, he's off camera now. We'll come back to him. But similar approach about the 45s. You know, you got to have that what we call digging discipline. I had to slow it down, make sure I said it right. Arnaldo, we'll start with you. I mean, are the dollar bins, depending on time, like how do you approach the dollar bins that is different now versus
are you talking about the real dollar bins or the $5 bins?
Let's call it the dollar bins or even the $3 or $5 bins. Like
the bargain bins.
Let's be very democratic. Let's call it the bargain bins. Like, what's your approach now?
Well, the couple of local record fairs that I've been to, I did spend some time in the $5 bins, and I actually brought home some really good stuff. There's this one guy that I think I showed it on one of the shows last month, that he had everything at $5, and there was some jewels there because he was kind of like getting rid of a lot of stuff that he had. So they weren't necessarily bargain bins because he didn't have a high price, you know, section. He was just selling everything off at $5. So hit or miss. There were people that were even Billy was there. I turned to my side and Billy's digging through and racking up the $5 records. So yeah, it's hit or miss. Depends. There's times when I go to record fairs and or even local stores, and you know, the ones that are right below, and you got to get down on your knees. And I did that a few months ago when I went to Stranded. And yeah, you'll find maybe a title that's worth $10, but it's in such bad condition that they can't price it for more than $2. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the proper $2 bin, it's really, I find a hard time finding something. But definitely in the $5 bins, mm-hmm. if we're calling still them the bargain bins, I have found some good stuff. Cue to the 45 section. I agree with you, Chance. I don't have the patience.
Yes.
If it doesn't have a picture sleeve, I don't have a patience to flip through. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the 45 collector and respect, tip of the cap to him. I mean, that's a different type. I wouldn't say different type. It's a different flavor of collector, because you got to either, you know, you got to know what you're looking for in terms of the label artwork, or, you know, sometimes there'll be the label sleeves. Maybe that's something that's a pause. But yeah, when it's all the white sleeves, like Jason was telling us, you know, each day what he pulled, and it's like, that's great, I would love to have those, but the time, like I would have just went mad just standing there.
Well, someone like Jason, and he's conveniently off camera right now, he's got everything already, so he really doesn't need to spend time looking for grails because he has a lot of the grails.
That's true.
I could see how he wants things that are, that require a little bit more time, unique things, and you know, I can appreciate that.
Yeah, Jason sent us a note in the secret chat that it was a power outage, apparently. So there's been no attack on Jason. I know there's some concern coming out of Austin if there was potentially a hit put on Jason's life. So I just want to qualm those out real quick. Power outage. So we'll get Jason back as soon as we can. David Bianco.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on on finding the deals in the deals bins? Because everyone likes a deal. And record collectors like them. Probably more than most, but if you're at a shop or a show and you see the deals bin, how likely are you to maybe at least put your finger in the pulse?
Yeah, well, I tend to, especially when I go through a place and I, you know, rifle through and it's like, you know, I really don't see anything that's jumping out at me, I'll do that. I mean, when I was in Sweden, I did a lot of that, and I found a lot of great stuff. I mean, even for Frankensteining covers and stuff like that, it can be worth it, right?
Yeah.
So I, you know, dollar, $2, it's kind of, you know, that's usually Frisbee time. But, you know, a $5 bin, yeah, I mean, I've found some real, I found my RRL. It wasn't in a $5 bin, but it was just, it wasn't in any high dollar thing. It was just by looking and looking at every single one of them to see if it by chance happened to be it.
Sure.
So I always tell people, don't assume that, you know, the record collector guy has checked everything 100% or that they know everything 100%. You'd be surprised that one time you find it, you'll always go back once you realize that can happen. It's usually more a matter of time than anything else.
Yeah, you put in the work, you'll get the result, right? And I think that, but again, I think 5, 10, even 15 years ago, man, there used to be a lot. The apples were bigger. Yeah. The oranges were bigger. Now, you really got to make a conscious effort time-wise, like June was talking about. Like, just finding the time to get to the stores is one thing. But then invest the time to actually get down, dig. That was some of my earliest, once I got back in the hobby 12 years ago, that was some of my favorite memories, was being on the floor for, a good hour and a half of just combing through and Prince and the Revolution, all the stuff you'd find as collection building, right? But now it's a whole nother game. Jose, what's the practice or your approach on the bargain bins? Because I know you pulled a lot of $5 records in Austin, so I think I already know the answer, but are you like Pac-Man? It doesn't matter, you're just getting them?
No, I found some great stuff in dollar bins throughout my life. Like that Mamas and the Papas toilet cover. I got that one for free because I bought something else. And the guy was like, I was looking at the dollar bin and he was like, you want that? You can get it. That's free. So stuff like that, it's like, I got the first press of Loaded by Velvet Underground, a dollar bin. Stuff like that, I think that it's a matter of how much you are the desire to go and look for records. Because, I think most people that don't know what it is, for example, when I go to the U.S., I always look into the Latin section, because they just see a name in Spanish. They say, what the fuck is this shit? And they put it in there. And I found some great stuff like rock, fuzz, a bunch of garage and stuff like that I actually know and dig. So stuff like that, I've gotten like Cesar would be probably happy about that. Like I've gotten some Soda Stereo singles, like a dollar bins, Spinetta ones, because people don't know what it is. And they just, they're just like, let's put it here. So my advice is always look at least quickly on them. Because for example, last year I got a copy of the cleanest copy I've ever seen of Killing Me Softly, which is a very cheap record, but you never see them like that clean. So again, when you find something that clean, I think it's worth it a lot.
Jose, did you say that happened a year ago?
The what?
That you were just talking about a year ago, you found something, because I missed a sound effect.
Oh yeah, that's what is it? Yeah, David Letterman. Yes. I think that you have to be persistent when you're looking for records. That's normally where I go to. At the show, I think most people are always looking at the walls, if the wall said something. But nah, I go for the everything, And I found a Nico single for $5, which I was really happy about. A week before going to Austin, I found a Taylor Swift 7-inch that a guy had for $10. So that I sold for a good amount.
Oh my gosh, Jose! Let's not give away the trade secrets. John Bandy. Again, I'm so glad it's here. He says, "Go with the percentages. Have a long list and be flexible. Don't get obsessed about a few items." Okay.
Yeah, I think that it's worth it. It's all the time worth it. I think the only problem, for example, I'll say that Jason, not present here, and me, we went to a lot of half price books and Goodwills in Austin the last day.
Hang on, I gotta set the backdrop. So right. I think it was we're getting food coming to the house.
No, that was late. That was later on. No, we went to get some.
Okay.
No.
Jose and Jason ducked out, and they said, we'll be right back. And next thing you know, Jose saw a Goodwill where we picked up his gluten-free pizza at the Domino's, and you knew that Jose was like a tractor beam. He had to go hit that Goodwill. So I can appreciate the digging enthusiasm to go.
Well, yeah, but we didn't find a single record. But again, I always look. I think that it's worth it looking for it. And yeah, Massey, I did found that.
Yeah. So this was also one of the biggest developments out of the Austin show. We didn't touch on it, but this is a good way to segue out of the first hour. Is Jose found what only one panelist has ever found or ordered, and that is the Michael Fremer comedy album, to which then we had a meeting of the minds. Literally the smartest guy in the group, Paul, Barack P. Dub, and Mazzy got together and straight up slabbed that bitch. I know Michael Fremer doesn't watch the show, so sorry, Michael, I'm not spoiling anything, but I mean, slabbed.
There's a photo of you there.
Yeah, there's Jose holding it. Yeah. So.
Only 1995.
it was half price, which I thought it was very funny because I asked the guy. I asked the guy, like, hey, because I told Massey when we were eating that I found it. And we were talking with Dylan about slamming records. And I told, hey, well, maybe you can slab it, right? That one. And we went to look for it. And the guy didn't even know what the fuck I was talking. Hey, did you sell the Michael Fremer record?
He wanted like, $40, right? $40? I mean, it $40, was a standard price.
$40. But the guy was like, I think I sold it. He didn't know what the fuck it was. He was just like, and then we looked for it. There was a guy like in the middle. And I was like, hey, man, can you move? That's the only bin that I haven't looked. And then I found it. And the guy was like, everything is half off, so it was $20.
Yes, I think this is a true assessment of that situation. Paul says the Mona Lisa of vinyl, and that is true because anytime you can't even replicate it. Like nobody could paint the Mona Lisa just freehand. Nobody can redo the Michael Fremer hand gestures. And as we learned from our visit to Jason's place, he showed us the Fremer record a couple days before. It came with like a press kit that either his father or his brother wrote. So it's definitely a collector's piece. Like it's a different type of collector. Yeah.
You got a press kit with that?
What?
What's that, David?
Did they have a press kit with that?
There was a press kit in Jason's copy, not in the one that was at the show, but, you know, and as he says, Paul said he got it half off. So he got the record half off, but slabbing it was three times the price.
I'll say that it's a waste.
You know, one day Fremer's going to be slabbed.
I'll say that it might have been a waste of money, but in 100 years when we're dusted and we're dead as fuck and the civilization has crumbled, only slab records will remain.
That's right.
And for the posterity, Michael Fremer, I can take a joke. What's the name of the record?
Forever,
it'll be there forever. Like aliens will come down and they're like, "What is all this man was probably a savior or something."
And when the apes go in the forbidden zone and they find the baby doll and they're gonna find the slab record of Michael Fremer.
Yes.
Look at that wig.
$40. That was like a day's worth of food somewhere. Wow, he probably was someone.
Important. Wow, you could play this slab on a $75,000 turntable.
Now, I don't know if this is true, but Mr. Norman Maslow says Paul is going to send it up to the International Space Station. I don't know if that's true. That may be fake news, but you never know. We may be watching TV one day, and you might see the slab record kind of floating.
Yeah, maybe. That's how aliens are going to finally talk to us.
Shred it, put it in a bottle, throw it in the ocean. That's what I say.
Is it water resistant? I haven't talked to those guys.
I think so. I mean, now somebody was saying, I think was it Dylan at lunch, was saying that something can still get in there, but I'm not sure. I don't know enough. The guys were on the podcast, the VMG guys, so shout out to them. But anyway, all right, well, let's wrap this segment down. If you're a fervent watcher, listener, all that kind of stuff. You know, we're just going to wrap this piece down and it's freestyle time. So do not leave. But I want to thank my guest. Jason's in the forbidden zone of the power.
He's powerless. Outage. He's powerless.
He is powerless in the forbidden zone, but at least he has a frame of record to keep him warm if it becomes an issue. So, Jason, thank you for joining us.
Turntable time.
Thank you for having me, concert buddy.
All right. And then Jose Moreno Ron, it's always good to see you and always good to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jose, this isn't your first rodeo. You know how to go.
Hey, but it was it's delay. It's a little delay here.
Fair enough. David Bianco, the channel is Safe and Sound Texas Audio Excursion. Great to see you last week. Great to see you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And then Arnaldo, who up until this week was always first in the backstage ready, like we're crisscross applesauce until today. So Arnaldo, you know, hopefully next time you get there a little sooner. Arnaldo, channel is, thank you. The channel is Fidelios underscore frequency. Arnaldo, always great to have you.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
And then again, our special guest, June, who hopefully is going to stick around for the freestyle. The channel is June's Music Corner. Check out the channel. Been on fire lately. I saw you're over 1,000 subs now. So, you know, gaining some traction. So doing good things.
Good go, June.
Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that was another trip around the turntable. Thanks for listening to Vinyl Community Podcasts.